You know, if there was ever a time that we needed the things of the kingdom of God, it's right now. And we have a lot of pseudo things that look like they're the kingdom, but they're not the kingdom. You know, we've been on a journey with Understanding the Kingdom series. We've learned they're tied into the commandments, they're tied into the blood of Jesus, they're tied into His rule and reign. They're tied into the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're tied into the fruit of the Spirit, which is the character of Messiah that has been established in us. They're also connected to the anointing of Messiah. And I want to pick up here again in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither shall he reprove the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Now, one of the things that I'm sensing, and this is one of the reasons we're doing this series the way that we are, is there is a prophetic transition that's going on that we're in the midst of. How many know the first time Jesus came, he came as Messiah ben Joseph, the suffering servant. In fact, he said, I come not to judge the world, but to save it. But that does not mean that he will not judge the world. It was first trip. He comes to offer grace and mercy. The second time he comes, Messiah ben David, he comes to judge. And that's part of what's in this scripture. It says, not only will he judge with righteousness, shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. How many know that's called the Valley of Armageddon? And we're closer there than we have ever been before. But there's this transition. And I think one of the things the enemy's doing is he's fighting. He's getting us caught up in all the wrong things. He's getting us to where we so focus on Messiah ben Joseph, and we have so distorted Messiah ben Joseph that he's more like Gandhi than he is Jesus in what's being preached in a lot of churches. But how many know with God there's balance? Even when God revealed himself as Yahweh Elohim, when the moment that he began to deal with man, Yahweh, the mercy or grace of God, Elohim, the justice and wrath of God. And he's balancing that out. And so as this begins to play out, we're going to need the anointing of Messiah in our lives more than ever before. You see, in the West, because of our affluence, we have been the Laodicean church. We have, you know, you can, if you have money and you have an economy that even the poor of us in America are rich compared to people in other portions of the earth. We really are. And you can fake spirituality with that. You can, it's not in the good times that you prove that you're walking with God. It's not in the good times that all the things of the kingdom function. We need them the most in the bad times. We need them the most when the iniquity force is in ascension. We need them the most when the enemy shows up. We need them the most when we need God to judge some things. Because with the anointings of Messiah, it realigns us to his kingdom and begins causing us to be more like the king and to flow into things that are important to him. Now, when you look at each of these, they're paired together because they complement each other. You know, in nutrition, there's something called those things that are synergetic. You know, you can take vitamin C and you can take vitamin A or vitamin E, and you can get a certain result with it, but you can derive them from certain plants or certain things that they have a synergistic balance within them that they cause each one to be more effective. And so a lot of times it's not just having the right vitamins in, it's having them from the right source that you really get the boost that you need or the healing that you need or whatever else. And it's the same way with these. These are synergetically complete. They're made to function together. That's why the prophet Isaiah, he twinned them together because they need to flow together as one to be really, really effective in our lives. And today we're going to study the anointings of counsel and might. The first one, counsel, is atzta, which not only means counsel, counsels, advisement, it means purpose. You know, one of the things that everyone seems to be running after today is understanding purpose. What's my purpose here? Every one of us have a purpose in the kingdom of God. But we need to begin taking this apart because counsel helps you find your purpose. And that what we're talking about is not the anointing to counsel like a biblical counselor, but more like a mentor. That it will come, and when it comes, it will last for a time, but within those moments, there's absolute wisdom of God. There's a divine meeting where God begins to function. You know, the first thing that we need to do as we look at counsel and advice is we need to separate it from naysayers. You know, about 80% of the people in the world are naysayers. You know what that is? God told me to do something. Nay, 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 you can't do it. Nay, sit down. Nay, nay. Because there are billy goats in the kingdom. And what's amazing to me is every naysayer has an opinion, but you know how important their opinion is? They never do it themselves. The people that sit on the side and never do anything usually have the biggest amount of advice. Do you know who makes the best coaches when you look at sports? Those that were effective in the sports before they got old enough. We know there's like a time limit. You know, when you're 60, you don't want to be playing professional basketball unless you're a coach or a football player. I mean, it was usually 35, maybe 40 at the max, and it's time to retire. Those that are extremely effective and really understood the game transition to being a coach. But we have too many armchair quarterbacks in the kingdom of God. We have too many armchair generals, armchair apologists. Social media has given everybody the think that they have the right to give their opinion about stuff. And I like what Perry Stone said sometimes. He goes, this social media thing is interesting. He says, everybody gives their opinion when they were never asked. But there's a difference between that and when there's an anointing that comes on you, that you begin, and it's similar to the prophetic, but it's not the prophetic. It's to give counsel. I remember years ago, I was up, and I think it was in the New England area, if I remember right. This has been a couple of decades ago. And a young man came up to me about tithing, and he went through his financial thing and all the debt he had and all these different things. And all of a sudden, just the spirit of counsel came on me, and it's like, group these over here, group these over here, pay these down. This is what you do. This is how you ease into it. And in 5 minutes, God gave him a plan that within 5 to 10 years, he'd be out of debt. And both of us walked away scratching our heads saying, where in the world did that come from? Because the anointing of counsel began to take hold. And he received it as counsel. Now, what's interesting about counsel and advice, and this is something that is so important, you have to be in a position of authority to move in the anointing of counsel. That's where people miss it. in the body of Christ. That's the difference between a naysayer and somebody that God has established in authority. In America, for some reason, and I think we have taken this rebel thing too far and liberalism has crept in, we do not respect authority the way that we should. We have no respect for authority. We have no respect for those. And that's one of the reasons why churches constantly are fighting their pastors. There's a lot of ministries right now, and some of them I've had to minister to, that the people that they're trying to minister to and follow even on the internet spend 20% of their time supporting them and 80% of their time beating them up. And if you say anything just off color that they might not like, whether I mean, a lot of times it'll hit their pet doctrine, or and sometimes pet doctrines are not necessarily biblical doctrines. They'll stop, they'll say, "I'll never support you again, I'll never listen to you again, because how dare you say blah, 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 blah." Because they heard somebody teach that somebody taught that grandma taught that somebody taught. And we have no respect for authority. Now, why is this so important? I remember reading Watchman Nee's book on spiritual authority when God called him to Hong Kong. And the first thing he did is he went there and prayed for God to show him the pastor, the minister that God had placed over Hong Kong. Although there were some probably on every corner, he sought the one that really carried the divine authority given to him by God, and went and explained to him his mission and asked his permission to be there. See, this is a dynamic of spiritual warfare, a lot of things that we don't understand. When Michael confronted Lucifer over the body of Moses, it said the book of Jude tells us that he did not make a railing accusation. That even in Lucifer's fallen state, Michael respected the authority of the fallen angel, the fallen cherub. That if they were, and most theologians believe they're both archangels, so they were equal in power. But he did not make a railing accusation. He respected authority, even though the authority was used wrong. And what he did is he confronted him with a greater authority and said, "The Lord rebuke you." And yet we have people constantly reviling. I'm getting off my notes now, but they'll do spiritual warfare and they'll start reviling principalities and powers. They'll start reviling demons. You never see a place where Jesus reviled a demon. He either told it to shut up and come out, or sometimes there was information that was needed for deliverance. But he never reviled. He could have literally lorded it over those demons. Said, "Yeah, you know, although I've not come to torment you now, I have come to cast you out now." And he could have got haughty about it. He never did it. You know, one of the reasons why he never did it: number one, it wasn't appropriate, and number two, Jesus' life is the template that we learn how to walk in the ways of God with. Everything that he did, the way that he responded to those around him, shows us how to walk in the commandments of God, shows us how to walk in the ways of God. And one of the reasons that the anointing of counsel cannot function like it's supposed to in the body of Christ is, since there is no respect for those that move in authority, the gift of counsel, or this anointing of counsel, cannot function. It'd be wasted. We also need to understand that there's a difference between the anointing of counsel and a prophetic word. Sometimes they may seem similar. There are things right now that I'm walking in, that Mary's walking in, that was prophesied over us over 3 decades ago, that we're now easing into, and God has got us in the position. What a lot of times, with a prophetic word, even it says, "Here shortly." There's a great book that I have on prophetic definitions. "Here shortly" could be a decade or more, because it skips across linear time. There are things that Isaiah spoke that seemed imminent, Unto us a child is born, unto us, you know, a son is given. And so everybody wanted to stop and look for the child. How many know it was a long time between Isaiah speaking it and Mary having baby Jesus? Long time. So a prophetic word gives us a glimpse of the future so that we can begin setting our faith toward it and to become that person that that word is speaking about. I've even seen where prophets have told people they were called to ministry before they were saved. And said, since you have a call of God on your life, you need to get saved or you're not going to go anywhere your entire life. I mean, that's a reason to get saved. Counsel, on the other hand, is a now word. It's something that is immediate. It's not going to be, you know, a lot of times prophetic words, you can kind of take it and set it on the shelf and you can come back 6 months later and look at it and that anointing is still there and everything. With the Spirit, with the anointing of counsel, there is a window of opportunity of obedience with the counsel. And those that know me, and I have to speak personally from my own experience. Many times when I begin, whether it's moving prophetically or moving in the anointing of counsel, my countenance will change, my voice will change, and there is an authority with it because that anointing has taken hold. And I've heard it out of men of God in the pulpit when they're dealing with things, whether it's a community, they will begin moving and people just think they're preaching really good, but they don't understand that that anointing of counsel is flowing along with the anointing of preaching and teaching the word. And God is beginning to give counsel and to release purpose and advice that the body needs to function right then and there. Guys, if we don't have spiritual discernment, many times we miss when counsel is spoken by those in authority. Whether it's a father or mother in a household, whether it's a pastor, whether it's an apostle over a larger ministry, we need to be sensitive when God begins to speak. Because you can't get to might until you accept the counsel. People are always wanting power. You know, they're kind of like Tim the Tool Man Taylor. He wants to rev up everything, and because he has too much power and not enough counsel, he's constantly going to the hospital because he's blown something up. You see that? And, you know, within that comedy of that shows a lot of people's lives that we want more power, we want more power, we want more power. And God is saying, I don't want to give you anything more than a squirt gun because you're going to shoot somebody's eye out or something. You can't handle that level of power in your life until you learn to move in counsel and to discover your purpose. Let me give you an example. Over the years, I've had lots and lots of people try to pull me into whether it's multi-level marketing or pull me into this or pull me into that. And in years past, it used to be tempting, you know. Well, maybe the Lord's going to use this to fund my ministry. Maybe God, you know what God uses to fund this ministry? My purpose. That when I'm faithful to the purpose, because I have listened to counsel, God begins to bless because that's where my anointing flows. That's where there is life to me. And in the last few years, that purpose can expand. I'm discovering that part of my purpose is writing. And I think the older I get, the more I'm going to transition to writing than a lot of the other things I'm doing because there's seasons in our lives. But you can't have the power, you can't have that might until you discover the purpose, and that purpose begins to set boundaries for you. That's one of the powers that is wrapped up within counsel. It sets boundaries for you. God says, this is my purpose. This is the direction you need to go. Here's the anointing to begin releasing this in your life. And the word constantly tells us, don't turn to the right hand or to the left. You know why? It's called temptation. Now, how many of us have God at one time or another has released a prophetic word into our life or released a word of counsel into our lives and we didn't let it set the boundaries? And especially with the anointing of counsel, there is an expiration date. Either you move in obedience or you lose your window. It's not like a prophetic word, because that prophetic word, when God spoke some words over Mary and I over 30 years ago, we look like the least likely candidates for what we're doing now. And in the process, we had belief, then we had disbelief. It's like, you know, how God could ever use us to do this? And there was stumbling, because God knew in that prophetic word says, listen, as you walk with God, you may stumble, you may fall, you may pick yourself back up, you may get a little off course, but in this walking, you're throwing away aside every weight that so easily besets you. There's a transition from Abram to Abraham. And so when God says, I'll make you a father of many nations, Abram couldn't pull it off. It was after he walked with God enough that God matured him and got enough junk out of his life that he grew to the place that God says, you finally got to the place where I can start calling you Abraham, because now you have become the person that I foresaw you to be in the future, that you took by faith because you could not see how in the world you could have become that person. And so there's actually more leeway, there's more play with a prophetic word many times. But when a man or woman moves under the anointing of counsel, it is a kairos moment. It is that moment of opportunity that God's saying, now take the step. It's like stepping out in the water, the water's going to part. Or hold your rod up over the water, it will part. They didn't have to pray about it and fast about it. There was an anointing there with releasing that for it to go forth. And see, that's where we really need to get with obedience and having the discernment when God begins to speak and this anointing of counsel begins to flow. That once we act on it, its twin begins going into operation in our lives. Now let's look at this word that is translated might in the Hebrew, Gibberah, which is a derivative of Gibberim, because first Gibberim represented the giants, but then both within the legends of all the pagan religions and with the concept within the Hebraic nation, they had supernatural strength to do great exploits. And so when you look at this, it means strength, might, valor, bravery. You see, sometimes when that word of counsel is given to you, you may not be brave, but as you step out in obedience, the bravery comes. You may not be strong when the word is given to you, but when you step out in faith because you recognize that anointing, the strength comes. And there's a lot right now in the body of Christ, there has been a word given. And they're sitting there, and they're twiddling their thumbs, and they're waiting and waiting and waiting on the strength to come. And God is saying, go ahead and step out, and when you step out, the strength will come. But if you respect authority, the authority of God and the authority of those that are functioning and have walked a walk that brings honor to Christ, that have proven their eldership, when you step out, it releases power. That other side of that begins to go into effect. And when it does, you begin finding strength that you didn't have. You begin finding bravery you didn't have. You begin finding might that you didn't have. And you begin to see that you can do great exploits for God beyond anything that you ever thought possible when these two go into operation in your life. Well, there's another one about might that's so important. When you look at In the Authorized Version, it's translated might 27 times, strength 17 times, power 9 times, mighty acts 4 times, mighty 2 times, force once. But in one situation, it's translated mastery. That in your obedience, you finally gained mastery of self. Because self is the biggest thing you need to learn to take control over. And how many know sometimes it's going to take a supernatural purpose of God for it to work? Let me give you a couple of biblical examples. Israel had already seen that Moses would say, certain plagues are coming, certain things are coming. And they would see the wrath of God poured out on Pharaoh. But all they basically had to do is duck and cover in Goshen. Just duck and cover. It won't come here. It's over there. But then they come to Passover night. It's not just ducking and covering anymore. Moses said, get all packed up. We're leaving in the morning. Now we're going to do Passover. And after you sacrifice that Passover lamb, you're going to put the blood over the doorpost. And then you're going to hunker down under the blood. Oh, there's a sermon there. Learning to hunker down under the blood in obedience. Said, you may have been slaves for hundreds of years, and the taskmaster's toil upon your back has been harsh. You've been worked without a day of rest.